All right, class, functioning in the supernatural, ministry in the supernatural is called for because it's the original plan of God. And somewhere we've been talking about that we have got away from it, but bring you back to Revelation 1 and 10. Very important. John said, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. Very in the spirit. And then I said there are three things that transpire when you're in the spirit. You see in another realm, you hear in another realm, and you understand in another realm. So realm and rhythm and revelation is so important in functioning in the supernatural. It's another realm, it's another rhythm. And when you talk about a realm of word, it's another realm, because now revelation is involved. So we have to be in the spirit to function in the supernatural. We come to that point. Now, Jesus called many Pharisees and religious leaders hypocrites because they were making the word of God of none effect. If we don't permit the Holy Spirit to move, the word of God is made of none effect. We cannot talk about operating through the Bible, operating in the word of God without the Spirit. It's the only one can cause the word to function, cause the word to manifest, cause the word to be powerful, is by the Spirit. And seeking you agree with this, I know you've seen some of this, people are holding on to man-made doctrine that have been passed down through the generation. You cannot do that. God has a word. There's a word I'm going to spell. I can't spell too many times. I can spell this word. F-R-E-S-H. If you going to function in the supernatural, you're going to have to be ready for a freshness of the Spirit at all times. Fresh. Because God do not have to do anything the same way. Why? Because he's unlimited. He has so many ways to do things. You know what I mean? So many ways. And so stay fresh in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Stay fresh in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Stay fresh in the Spirit. And then you won't have to hold on to nothing. Many in the church do not have a revelation of God's purpose for manifesting his supernatural power. God has a reason. We go back to the scripture in Hebrews 2:4. I think that was a powerful scripture we started off with. I want to go back there because it pounding what type of ministry, because he sent you to this school, you online, you who are here in the classroom, he sent you to this school for a reason, to bear witness here in Hebrews 2:4. God also bear them witness both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles, four things, and gifts of the, and they're all plural, of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. According to his own will. You see, God's will has to be involved, for we have to submit to his will. If we don't submit to his will, we're going to be operating in our own power, in our own strength. Are you following me? So here, it says, many in the church do not have a revelation of God's purposes for manifesting his supernatural power. Back to Romans 8:26-28. See, through your infirmities, you cannot know the will of God. Through the natural, through academics, you cannot know it. But through the Spirit. So there in Romans 8:26, you get rid of your infirmities, you let God take over, you get the mind of the Spirit, it shows you the will of God, it shows you the purpose of God, it fills you with the love of God, it fills you with your calling, and then all things work together for good. I think all things work together for good for them that love God is a supernatural statement. It's just, it's not normal, because all things not just going to work together for good. But if you're functioning in the Spirit and following the leadership of the Spirit, it got to come out right. So you have to have a revelation of God's purpose. God's purpose are to, number one, prove he is the only true and living God. Nobody can do it like him. Secondly, to bring glory and honor to his name. Thirdly, to confirm his word. Fourthly, to instill a reverential fear of himself in the heart of his people. I think it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. To supernaturally provide for his people. 6, distinguish and set apart his people from those of the world. 7, fulfill prophecy. 8, warn of coming judgment upon unbelievers. 9, bring in the great end time harvest. Let's just go God's purposes. You know, in Romans 8:28 says, all things work together for good for them who love God, those who are called according to his purpose. Now, those who are called according to his purpose, called. That means revelation of the Spirit. There's no one like our God, El Shaddai, Jehovah Shammah, Jehovah Jireh. There's nobody like him. And so you cannot display God without the supernatural. It's taking God out of his environment without miracles, signs, and wonders. He can't be God in a natural setting. And then the glory and the honor that God deserved will not come to pass unless people recognize that he's in a class all by himself. And that's what the supernatural does. It put God in a class all by himself. It put Jesus in a class all by himself. It put the Holy Spirit in a class all by himself. It put the minister who is yielding to the supernatural in a class all by himself to attract and to draw attention to God. And then God's word is supernatural. We can't be reading the Bible and quoting scriptures and having no manifestation. You know, we come from no Bible to a Bible, and then we come to no power. The scriptures are full of the supernatural, full of the life of God, full of miracles, full of signs, full of wonders. That's why we're told, don't randomly read, meditate. The man in Psalm got to the point where whatsoever he do is prosper. Joshua in Joshua 1:8, made his way to prosper and had good success by meditating on the supernatural. When you meditate the word, you're meditating on the supernatural. You're meditating on miracles. You're meditating on signs. You're meditating on wonders. You're meditating on birthing things that can't exist unless the Spirit of God causes it to come into existence. I think about it now. Who that was? Jacob. Boy, sold his birthright. I think the church has been selling her birthright, settling for something else, what man have come up with, than to just walk in the natural, raw, naked, supernatural power of God, unafraid, knowing that God is not limited and that he always will come through, and that God said, I watch over my word to perform it. Why he watch over his word to perform it? Because his word has a supernatural message that gives him the right to bring supernatural manifestation. Wow. Here, instead of a reverential fear of himself in the heart, instead of a reverential fear of himself in the heart of his people. The reverential fear of God will not come without the supernatural. The Bible talks about the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is different than the fear of man and the fear of Satan. The fear of the Lord is a respect, it's an honor, it's a thank you, sir. It's a I yield to you, sir. You the greatest, sir. That's what the fear of the Lord is. And then, like the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, the supernatural that God provides for his people. I mean, the children of Israel were out in the wilderness. Even their clothes didn't grow old. And he had bread on the ground at night, quails. I mean, God is a supplier. When we read Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all my needs according to the riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Don't just think about money. Oh no, don't just think about things. He's a supernatural supplier. And then the supernatural separates us. It set us apart. We're people that are not run by satanic power or not run by the curse system. But we know we have a God that will take care of us, fulfill prophecy, warn of coming judgment of an unbeliever, bringing the great end time harvest. I see our church at this time, Word of Life Christian Center, is on it. We're about to bring in the great end time harvest. I think the coming of Jesus is close. Nobody want to talk about it, but I think the time is close. The signs are showing that Jesus is going to have to come get us out of here, the church. So we just got to be ready to have oil in our lamp. All right. Get ready, class. I'm about to give you something else. Listen to this now. Believers reject miracles because Satan have tried to deceive people into believing God's supernatural power is unnecessary because he does not want his destructive plan from the earth to be thwarted or stopped. Believers reject miracles because Satan have tried to deceive people into believing God's supernatural power is unnecessary. You see what he's trying to do? Because he does not want his destructive plan for the earth to be stopped, thwarted. Now you see what he said? See, because if Satan can deceive you out of the supernatural and tell you all of that is not necessary, he's telling you that because without the supernatural, Satan going to whoop your tail. Without the supernatural, Satan going to destroy everything you try in your ministry. Your ministry, your life must have the supernatural. So his job is to make fun at miracles. He tried to do them himself. Make fun at signs, make fun at wonders to stop you from going in that area and just be a normal little nice church member, little nice minister, got a little polished outline, shoe shine. That's what he want, hair comb. That's what he want. He don't want nobody who is radical and you don't know what's going to come out their mouth. You don't know what's going to happen the next moment. You don't know what kind of power, what kind of glory going to hit the place where that person is. He don't want that because it destroys his plan. So the Lord opened this school to train you as a minister of the gospel how to destroy Satan's plan. That's what the supernatural is. The supernatural is a power great enough to destroy satanic plan. I love it. You heard it? Powerful. Satan will do anything to discredit or hinder the flow of the miraculous manifested in Jesus' name. The disciples went through that. Now, I've been through that. You know, phenomenal things happen. And when I talk about these things, I have testified. Paul testified. Peter testified. Phenomenal things happen in my ministry in this little town of Darrow. And then I've been all over the world preaching Madison Square Garden, preaching London, preaching some of the biggest ministers' names in the world. It's supernatural. The supernatural took me out of Darrow, took me out of Guidesmore, took me out of Gonzaga, took me out of Louisiana. Because at any given moment in my ministry, anything could happen. Even in this class tonight, the supernatural standing right there, ready to function. To confirm his word and provide for his people, God manifests his supernatural power. Acts chapter 3 and 4, Peter and John give example of how the supernatural power work. And I want you to know, as we come to a close in the semester, I want you to know that there have been supernatural impartation being placed on you in every class. Every instructor are connected to my apostolic anointing. And the information and the anointing they've been putting out is powerful. One miracle shook the religious establishment. If the disciples had denied God miracle power, the church would have been spiritually short-circuited. And I believe today, not being critical but yet being wise, the church is short-circuited of the supernatural power of God. Oh, yeah, they talk. You can talk. Hallelujah. I feel his presence. You talk. You can talk that talk. But you have to walk that walk. You got to have the manifestation. We can't afford to run short circuit of the supernatural, of the power of the Spirit. It was the name of Jesus that the supernatural miracle working power was manifested through the church to the world. We got that same name. He said, the work that I do, John 14:12, you do also. Now Jesus also said, if you love me, you keep my commandments. See, keeping his commandment is keeping his power, is keeping his supernatural. It was the name of Jesus. And it's still going to take the name of Jesus. It was the name of Jesus that the supernatural miracle working power was manifested through the church to the world. We got to take that same name, have that same supernatural understanding of that name, because the name of Jesus has the power of God in it, the power of Jesus in it, the power of the Holy Spirit in it. Oh my goodness, the power of the Spirit was in that name. The high priest couldn't find a reason to punish Peter and John. They decided to use threats and intimidation to stop them from spreading the gospel. Oh, I don't know how many threats and intimidation indirectly I've received over the years. The Lord protect me from a lot of stuff because I don't get out much. I stay in because I know that by walking in another dimension, sometimes it gets people real nervous. This was a defining moment for the church. We're going to look at these defining moments. They had a charge to obey the religious leader, to obey God, and continue to proclaim the salvation, healing, and deliverance in Jesus' name. They had a charge. Because the organized religion come against them because this man walking and not supposed to be walking. And their religion couldn't do it. But now the church have a charge. Now we have a charge right now. You have a charge, you're going to be a regular minister, which is nothing. Or you're going to function because God sent you into school to show you how to function. Or you're going to function in the supernatural power of God. You got a choice. They had a choice to compromise the word and deny the miracle power of God they had received, or to heal the sick, cast out demons, raise the dead, and do all the work Jesus promised they would do. Now, for me, I have a choice to deny money coming and say that's ungodly, unscriptural, everybody scared. A lot of people scared, you know. Thank God I have a remnant of people who connected and getting results. But the Lord just wanted to throw that supernatural word into his church. Money coming through a man full of infirmities, that he can get all the credit for it, and that he can rise a man up who had nothing to a man now that have everything. See, that's God showing his supernatural power through an inadequate, insufficient source, that only the supernatural can do it. Do you see that, Claire? You know, you hear me talk about this, but I'm talking about God. God did all this. So you have a charge. They had a charge to preach a watered-down version of the gospel that would be acceptable to the religious leaders and the majority of the people, or to be boldly proclaim the truth of the gospel with sign following. Well, you know what they did. Where would the church be today if Peter and John, listen to this, where would the church be today if Peter and John listened to the religion leader? Now, that's why I had to come out of a lot of denomination. That's why I couldn't stay in a lot of organization, because I was radical. Peter and John broke the opposition. Let's look in Acts 4. Hallelujah. Acts 4:29. And now, Lord, behold, they are threatening. Acts 4:29. And grant unto thy servant. Look what they ask, servant. We ain't going to come by that with all boldness they may speak thy word. And then they ask something else in verse 30. By stretching forth thy hand to heal. And that signs and wonders may be done by the name of your holy child Jesus. Oh, that's so powerful, class. Peter and John broke through the opposition, and you see them two verses tell you how they broke through it. The believers asked God for three major things in Acts 4:29-30. Number one, that they would have boldness to proclaim his word. That's supernatural, you know. When the word is proclaiming boldness, that's the supernatural. They said about Jesus one time, never a man speak like this man. In Ephesians 6, Paul prayed for boldness. And then the scripture said in Hebrews 4:16, let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we can find grace and mercy to help in the time of need. So they asked, speak the word of God with boldness. Now what do you mean by not loud? Sometimes it may be loud, but it's not the loudness. It's the content of the supernatural by the Spirit in the word, what they spoke. The context of the supernatural in the word. The second thing they asked for, that he would stretch forth his hand, healing hand. See, the miracles got something to do with the supernatural. And the third thing they asked, that sign and wonder be done in the name of Jesus. So they got the word of God, the name of Jesus, and the hand of God. The word of God, the name of Jesus, and the hand of God. Those three things you need. You need God's hand moving. You need the name of Jesus moving, and you need the word of God moving by revelation, by insight, that will create the supernatural. The name of Jesus will create the supernatural. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The word of God will create the supernatural. And the hand of God will perform the supernatural. Praise God. The early disciples positioned themselves spiritually where the Holy Spirit could flow through them unhindered. Now, yes, something about the supernatural. You have to love the Lord thy God with all your heart. This is not a sideline with me. Being here with you tonight, this is my life. And so you have to position yourself to yield, be in a yielding position all the time. Let me read this to you again so you can write it down. The early disciples positioned themselves, write it down, spiritually. Positioned themselves spiritually where the Holy Spirit could flow through them unhindered. A free flow. You have to position yourself for that. And then the whipping that is on the organized religion, the church has lost a vision of what God intended it to be. Whew. And here is something you need to know. The miracle power of God has not changed. We have changed. Three things we got to correct. Our eyes have been diverted. Our unity has been broken. Our fervor and zeal has been diminished by all of this stuff they've brought into the church. There must be a lot of positional, personal, purposeful prayer that can keep you in the spirit. Jesus does not intend his church to know any limits. Hallelujah. But to operate in the same fullness of power that he did while he lived on earth. You want to read that again? Jesus does not intend his church to know any limits, but to operate in the same fullness of power that he did while he lived on earth. Let's turn and look at this. In Matthew 28 for a minute. Turn and look at this. Verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And then the 19th verse, he said, now because you know that, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Powerful. So miracles are expected, and they accompany the preaching of the gospel. Miracle, supernatural preaching produce supernatural miracle. Could the lack of this ministry in the 21st century church lie in the weakness of our relationship with the Lord and of our walking in the Spirit? Weakness or walking in the Spirit? Weakness of a relationship, not walking in the Spirit. Those two things will hinder the flow of the supernatural. So what's the opposite? Being strong in relationship and strong in walking in the Spirit. Ephesians 6:10 said, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." So the question is asked, what has happened to the 21st century church? What have happened to it? Listen, we must class take the bold stand, B-O-L-D stand, acknowledging that God's miracle power is not only relevant but also necessary today, and proclaim the truth of the gospel with sign follow. That's what we got to do. Many pastors, here we go, of seeker-friendly churches are fearful of offending people and losing attendance, and therefore will not allow the gift of the Spirit to manifest in their service. Oh, that's right where we are. I got to read that to you, and I want that to happen to you. Many pastors of seeker-friendly churches are fearful of offending the people and losing attendance, and therefore will not allow the gift of the Spirit to be manifest in their service. That's terrible. The early church, or the early disciples, positioned themselves spiritually where the Holy Spirit could flow through them unhindered. And I tell you now, class, that's going to cost you. I'm going to read that again, but that's going to cost you. And most people don't want to pay this price. I watch it over and over again. I've seen them fake it. I've seen them have no power. I've seen people try to preach with no power, no matter of saying. I've seen them try to fake it. I've seen them try to be loud to make you think something happening. I've seen them do acrobats to try to make you think something happening, but nothing really wasn't happening. So let me give it to you again. The early disciples positioned themselves spiritually where the Holy Spirit could flow through them unhindered. That's what you want. You want to flow of the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit flow through you unhindered. The 21st century church has a choice. Some Christian leaders are more concerned about being politically correct than about having the presence of Almighty God in their service. Turn to 2 Timothy. I thought about this verse earlier. Powerful verse. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5. Some Christian leaders are more concerned about being politically correct than about having the presence of the Almighty God in their service. Having the presence, oh my goodness, shout out about you, of Almighty God in their service. And the verse that back it up, having 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. Having a form. See, don't hang around with people who are not flowing in the Spirit. We cannot afford to continue denying the supernatural miracle power of God. Denying. The Israelites limited God because they forgot the awesome manifestation of miracles and signs and wonders he had worked on their behalf. Jesus empowered and equipped the church so we would be able to set people free from the bondage of Satan, to loose them from their infirmities, and meet the desperate need in their lives. All right, three things. I want you to see it. You're going to have to function the supernatural for this to happen. So here's why Ephesians 4 is so strong, that the ministers equipped the body of Christ properly. Jesus empowered, get the word empowered, and equipped the church so we'll be able to set people free, number one, from the bondage of Satan. Number two, to loose them from their infirmities. And number three, to meet the desperate need in their lives. If you do that in ministry, you'll never have problem nowhere to preach. You'll never have financial problem. Because if you meet the need of the people will meet the needs of your ministry. You got that? You're not going to hear that in the school. You meet the need of the people will meet the need of your ministry. You don't have to go trying to work on the need of your ministry. Your job and assignment is to meet the need of the people. I'm going to give them to you again. Those three things. We're empowered and equipped in the realm of the supernatural to free people from the bondage of Satan, to loose them from their infirmities, and to meet the desperate need in their lives. That's what we're called to do. He infused the church with power of the Holy Spirit so we would be able to carry on the same ministry, oh my God, he had on earth. Same ministry. That's why Hebrews 13:8 said Jesus Christ is the same today, yesterday, and forever, because he's the same through us as we do the same things he did and operate in the same power and the same strength he did. Class, are you getting this? God is raising up a holy remnant. John 14:12. The works that I do will you do also. Now two of the main things there, you have to understand with the word, you have the name of Jesus and the power of the Holy Ghost. So the word of God, the name of Jesus, the power of the Holy Ghost are very important to activate the supernatural. God has planned that the entire body of Christ would be infused with his power and authority to manifest miracles. Now I'm about to close, class. But I'm going to give you a few more. But I'm going to close in a minute. He was called and chosen you. He had called you and chosen you to be a living witness, to give visible proof that Jesus is the Son of God. We cannot deny the miracle working. We cannot deny the working of miracles or relegate them to the past. God has called you and given you a great commission to fulfill. Like Moses' rod, God has placed his divine rod in your hand. Hallelujah. God has given you the all-powerful name of Jesus, which gives you the authority to manifest his miracle power. Matthew 28:18-19, Luke 10:19, behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, power of the enemy, do you no harm. I think the other scriptures in Luke 21:15, I'll give you a mouth and wisdom that the enemy cannot gainsay or resist. As we enter this new dimension of the supernatural, the word the word will be preached by the church in an amazing demonstration of God's miracle working power. Here's some of the things going to happen. The blind will see, the lame will walk, demons will be cast out, the word will increase, and will harvest a multitude of souls around the world. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for all the things that we have heard and been taught in this semester. The truth that been released, we know they will have no effect unless the Spirit of God breathe upon them. We thank you for your word. We speak over this class in the name of Jesus, each individual, that they're being endowed with power by being under the voices of the men and women you've chosen to work in this school. We thank you for every student. We thank you for their families. We thank you that you will show them by your wisdom and your understanding how to handle things in their lives, that they can be successful in the supernatural. Thank you for your word. Breathe on your word that have been spoken. Let it come alive. Let it produce miracles, signs, and wonders. In Jesus' name, Amen. Praise God.